Welcome to the HCI family of podcasts. We're your source for personal, professional, and organizational growth and development. We share our own original research, explore industry trends, and interview executives and thought leaders from across the globe. Join us for practitioner-oriented content around all things leadership, HR, talent management, organizational development, and change management. Maximize your personal and organizational potential with the HCI family of podcasts. John J.R. Renning, welcome to the conversation today.
Oh, thank you for having me, John.
It is a pleasure to be with you. You're joining me from the panhandle of Idaho. I'm south of Salt Lake City in Utah. And today we're going to be talking about transitioning from success to significance. When we were preparing for this episode, and I was looking over the topic and some of the talking points, and et cetera, I was thinking, this is really an important topic. So one I was really excited to explore with you. So we're going to try to unpack how we define success in the first place, because I think there's, you know, people tend to be all over the place in terms of what they mean by success, and then move from this idea of success towards having significance in our lives, in our work, in what we try to accomplish with others around us. I think that's a really powerful way of framing this up. So I'm excited to have this conversation with you today. As we get started, I wanted to share JR's bio with everybody. As the founder of a 30-plus year business software company, John J.R. Renning thought he was going to ride off into the sunset and retire. All that changed in 2015 when he founded Brush Fires, which helps others discover their purpose. And JR, would you mind sharing a little bit about what Brush Fires is, what you do, and anything else about yourself by way of your background or personal context? And then we'll dive on into the conversation.
Well, first of all, I guess to be true to our ministry, I would have to introduce myself as JR, a born-again son of the Most High God. Brushfires is a ministry that helps believers figure out what it is that God created them to do. We have been gained access to 11 different assessments that allow for a person to have a deep dive into their design and the specific nature of which God created them to be. And the whole idea of the ministry is that if you align your agenda, your choices with what God wants to do through you because of how he created you, that allows you to begin to live a joy-fulfilled life. And so the whole focus of the ministry is to get people to figure out what it is that God created them to do, primarily through these assessments and through our workshop training program, and then for them to begin pursuing that. And that's exactly how Brushfires got started, because I went through the exact same process.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. And, you know, this isn't a religious podcast, and I'm sure some listening are thinking, you know, what did I just tune into today? What I want to hone in on is the purpose and the significance piece. Because sure. I think regardless of your religious or spiritual belief system, worldview, whether you're atheist, agnostic, whether you are a believer, whatever, I'm not sure, you know, I know you feel like that matters, but I'm just going to step back and just say, I'm kind of belief agnostic in terms of just understanding the power behind purpose and significance in our lives, regardless of where you come from, what your worldview is. I think everybody wants significance and purpose, and they want to do things that matter. They want to have meaning in their lives. And so you're pursuing one avenue for that, right? Through a religious spiritual approach. But I would encourage anyone who's listening or watching to also just consider, generally speaking, like what's the practical application of this in terms of how I can search for and find the meaning and purpose and have clear understanding about what my role is in this world and how I connect with people around me. That is a powerful notion, regardless of your spirituality, your belief, whatever. And my belief is that the world would be a vastly better, improved place if everyone had a true sense of meaning, purpose, and felt like what they were doing mattered, and I think people are just going to do better stuff. Like, we're going to have better organizations. We're going to have better communities. We're going to have better families and relationships across the board when we have that as a foundation.
Agreed. And so I can approach this from a sort of more generic kind of approach, understanding that that's my beliefs.
Yeah.
Here's the reality of this is that there are certain assessment types. A lot of people have done all kinds of personality assessments. Mm-hmm. And there are the, you know, you're a beaver, you're a golden retriever, you're this or that. But then there's a very specific type of assessments that are known as psychometric assessments. These assessments basically are based upon the fact that a person's design, their interests, abilities, and values, and other aspects of who they are do not change in with their life. They're the same at 18, at 38, at 58, at 88. Psychometric assessments, ones that people have heard of, such as DISC or Myers-Briggs, are ones of that nature. They're very specific, and they are measured, and they are validated to be authentic. That is the sort of assessment that we use. The YMI assessments were done in private practice through consulting since the early 80s. And so we have a large range of proof that our assessments actually do exactly that. So I would propose that that's because that's how God created you. But if you want to, however you want to approach that, the whole concept of this is look at that design, work with somebody that understands what those assessment results say, and start making your life choices consistent with how you are wired. What happens is we all get influenced by this world, primarily in our childhood, in our areas where we're trying to look for success. And so we'll say, you know, between 15 and 45, 50 years old, we're all looking for that success to be measured by and so forth. And so we pursue worldly areas of getting that, okay, wealth or fame or accomplishment or whatever it happens to be. I would say read the book of Ecclesiastes and you'd see a guy who did it, all those things. So here we are with that. And now you're in your mid-50s and early 60s, and you've now achieved a lot of those successes. And guess what? They're not as fulfilling as you thought they were going to be. Right. They're not as, they don't really make you excited about getting up. I mean, that's where I was at 57 with the software company. I had reinvented it three times. We do wholesale distribution, manufacturing, accounting software. And I had been doing that industry since the late 70s. And I was at a point where I had to either reinvent the company or begin to wind it down. And so I decided that I'm going to go through the wind down process and not abandon our clients, allow the company to continue to go, but slowly pursue that course of action. Yeah. And I was in that place where I'm going, all right, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing now? Because all my identity was connected to being a president of a software company.
Right.
And I was sitting in the chair that I'm looking at right now, and I was talking to God and go, I know you're behind this. What do you want? And towards the end of 2016, I was approached by an acquaintance who said, you know, I think you would really like this personality assessment training that I do, I think you should sign up for it. Well, if anybody's been part of winding down a company, the very first thing you do is you cut every unnecessary expense because that's cut, you know, that's cutting into the bottom line. And so my immediate reaction was, no, are you kidding? I can't afford that. I'm not going to do it. And then I felt this tug to do it. I thought, really? That makes no sense to me. Within a couple of weeks, I had gone through these assessments and I'm going, these have nailed me. And they've nailed me in a way that I understood the terminology, the language used. I understood what they meant. And not only did they accurately assess me, but they accurately assessed my wife. So I could look at it from my own perspective and then also from an observatory perspective. And I'm going, these are really powerful. Hmm. And at some point in time during that process, early 2017 is when I actually came to the conclusion that if I'm going to actually do this, or I'm going to make this step, I need to pursue what's called my purpose statement. The purpose statement is the end result of doing these assessments, where you take all the attributes. A lot of people will call them a mission statement or various other names.
Right.
And the one that was derived for me goes like this. I must strategically lead a gifted team to embrace the power of their God-given design for long-term positive results. And I was pondering that. Now, all purpose statements that we produce have to do with how you minister to other people. How do you impact the world in a positive way? It's not about self-serving or about building you or your legacy or anything like that. It's how do you impact other people? So mine was, I impact other people by getting them to see what it is that they were created to do, and then encourage them to do that, because that will give them the fulfillment that they're looking for, but it will perpetuate goodness and, I would say, godliness, but it would also make a world a better place, because this is how you serve your fellow man. And so I was sitting there contemplating that thought. I go, all right, that's what I got to do. But I'm doing this to the church, and this is, technology is foreign to the church as a general rule. I'm going, all right, well, there's nothing like this out there. I had to write the curriculum to teach this. And so then I had to write my first book and the workshop manual to be able to do this. And in 2018 is when we actually started teaching this process of a combination of, this is what the plan is for your life, and then these are the assessments that validate that you can use to construct your purpose statement to allow you to know how to make choices going further. And that's where the significance comes into play, because it's not about me gaining wealth or popularity or anything like that. It's about me helping other people start to experience joy and fulfillment.
That's really great. And something that you said in there, I mean, there's a lot in there that we can unpack, but one of the things that you just mentioned early on in your comment was about kind of this, what we might say, the worldly measures of success. However you want to phrase that or define that, I've certainly found that to be true. Like we have the sayings, the keeping up with the Joneses, right? We have all these different kind of social cultural norms that get imposed on us that we think that is the mark of success. That is what, you know, if I'm a good, talented, successful person, I will do XYZ. I will have XYZ. I will be able to demonstrate and show XYZ, right? And so what I think so many people spend most of their lives chasing their tails around this notion of success that you highlighted does not actually bring fulfillment. Like, no. I don't have a problem with someone having, you know, a lovely house and a nice car and a wonderful family and a nice job and good position. Like, I'm not saying those are bad things. I'm just saying, if you're constantly chasing the next promotion, if you're constantly chasing the next gadget, the nicer car, the bigger house, you will never be fulfilled. It just will never be enough. And that isn't where fulfillment, meaning, and purpose comes from. And so then if we can acknowledge that and just recognize whatever these kind of outside external standards are that are put upon us that we tend to buy into, if we can step back from that and recognize, okay, maybe that's not as important as everyone kind of says it is, as it's portrayed in the media or with celebrities or whatever, even in the workplace, like we can just say, no, it doesn't matter. I'm comfortable. I'm happy doing what I do, and I don't need to get the next promotion or whatever. Like, if we can just sit back and recognize that, and then do some internal work and reflection on, like, what really gets us excited? Like, what gets me out of bed in the morning excited to get up, interact with the world? Is it, you know, and every, people have different personalities, they have different styles, they have different needs and wants, etc. And so what that is for me is probably not going to be what it is for you. And that's okay. But I need to do the work so I can discover what it is for me. And then that's what I should be pursuing, not this endless rat race and the chasing of my tail to try to find these arbitrary measures of success that may or may not actually be meaningful to me, and oftentimes aren't the ones that society tells us are important.
I would say that there's a couple of things with regards to that, and I agreed with you completely. I mean, it's like a hamster wheel. You're never making any progress in life because the nicer house, the better car, the, you know, all those things don't bring any real significance. If you want to be a truly miserable person, focus in on yourself and focus in on your own needs and focus in on just you. That will make you so miserable. If you want to be a joyful person, see how you can lift up your fellow man. See how you can give them a hand up. You know, not a handout, but a hand up. How can you change their lives? The coaching session that we produced, the purpose statement, is the culmination of going through our workshop program. And it's a 3-hour coaching session. And I will tell you, there are some insights there that are just life-changing for people. First of all, because of this world system and how we are trying to pursue these wealth or whatever you want to call that, people become versions of themselves that are not really true.
Yeah.
They become this facade. They become this Instagram image, and that's not who they are. So one of the things about psychometric assessments, it cuts through all that BS, and I get to see the person as God created them to be. So part of what we go through is I start saying things based upon their design that's consistent with the person with that design. And all of a sudden you see their defenses start to crash. My wife, who participates in this process with me, she goes, "You try to make everybody cry." And I go, "No, I'm not trying to make them cry. I really am not." But the reality is, for the very first time in their life, they're being seen for who they really are. All the facade, all the BS is cut away, and we get to see them for who God created them to be. I mean, I've had beautiful women go, "What, you mean I'm not weird?" Or finally, somebody who gets me. People that you would think that would have it easy in life because of their outward appearance or other attributes are really putting on the show, a strong face, if you will, to be able to participate in that worldly pursuit. But when you go through these assessments and somebody says, "Hey, I really see you. I see who you are. I see your compassion. I see how this world would have really made it difficult for you to do what you're doing right now in your current career." I mean, tears are a very common outcome as part of the design discover meeting process because the individual is being seen in many cases for the very first time, or a loved one will be in attendance with them and they'll go, "I've been trying to tell him that all these years. He just doesn't see it. Thank you for sharing that." I got to tell you what happens in our teens and, you know, through our 40s and so forth is a really slow death. And it's not until you start to learn how to serve other people. When I'm in the middle of that process and I'm being the version of me that I was created to be and actually ministering to these people, my life is as filled as it possibly can be because I see the good that I have now helped produce in that person's life that I've been honored to participate in. And I see the difference that I've just made. I got to tell you, if you're a person that has a generous heart and giving to a person that is in real need, that is truly grateful for what you're doing and doing it in private so that you're not getting praised by the world, man, that is fuel for your fire. Or if you're a person that is designed to be a good counselor and you're sitting in a coffee shop talking to a couple that is considering getting divorced and you're helping them see each other and remember why they love one another, you are making a difference in this world. And you can see it and you can feel it. It is a feeling that if you could buy it, you would pay everything that you could to get it. But you can't buy it. You have to earn it by being it, by doing what you were created to do. And that's to serve humanity, serve one another.
Yeah, I love that. And again, it doesn't mean we can't take care of our individual needs.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to practice self-care. We have to take care of our personal needs. Personal development is important. You're not suggesting that that isn't the case, right? But when you're saying don't focus solely on yourself, focus on lifting up others, absolutely, that is a surefire way to derive meaning and purpose. Now, if you go too far and you're constantly threadbare and you never take care of your own needs, that's a problem. It's not sustainable. So you have to be able to balance, right, between taking care of your needs and then reaching out and lifting up other people. It's the old, you know, the proverbial mask that falls in the airplane. You know, if you're going down, put your mask on first, then you can help other people, right? But it really is powerful. If you bring that kind of purpose-driven, meaning-driven perspective to the way you interact with the world, to the way you interact with other people, it changes a lot of things. I mean, it changes what kind of a coworker you are. It changes what kind of a leader you are. I'm a big proponent of servant leadership, which goes right along with everything you just said. Like, I see leadership, the primary goal of leadership is to lift up and develop the people around you. And if I'm a good leader, I'm building my bench strength. I'm helping my team to understand their potential and to grow into that potential. That's what a great leader does. And lo and behold, when you do that, you also have great products and services, and people just do better work, and it makes, you know, the metrics are better. Everything's better, right? When you take that kind of an approach. And all of that's consistent, I think, with what you've been sharing around this idea of moving from success to significance. Now, JR, I note the time. I'm going to have to let you go here in a few minutes. But maybe as we start to wrap up, if you can share just a little bit more from your perspective, how we can start to make that transition from focusing in on success towards this shift towards, you know, significance, meaning, purpose-driven life and work.
Well, so really, I think the place to start is through the assessments that we, you know, that we have access to. The YMI assessments allow this sort of journey to begin, because it's an objective assessment that anybody can go through. We've had people as young as 15 that are just starting life, and we have people as old as 85 go through our program. So that's really where it starts, and figuring out, because there are a lot of situations in life where you can really lose yourself. We've worked with a lot of widows who all of a sudden they lost their husband. Their entire identity has been stripped away from them. They don't know who they are anymore. And so in that particular case, we can work with them to be able to say, all right, this is who you were designed to be. Let's start walking in this direction and see if life doesn't start to make sense again. And so that is a way of doing this. Our particular website for people that want to go and check it out is brushfires-digital.com. They can go there and poke around and see some of the free resources that we have there. And if they decide they want to sign up and go through that journey. But it's really a matter of, are you ready to change? That's a term that we use a lot in Brushfires. John Maxwell has this famous quote about the four seasons of a person willing to change. The very first one is my favorite. Have you experienced enough pain that you want to change? Have you seen enough that you are inspired to change? Have you learned enough that you are willing to change? And have you acquired enough that you're able to change? So for a lot of people, you know, if they're not ready to change, then continue on until you've experienced enough pain in this world. And then, you know, go back, figure out where that JR guy was talking with John on, and see if we can't begin that process. But you have to start there. You have to start at that place where you're going, there's got to be more to this life than simply earning a paycheck. You mentioned earlier about, you know, this monk sort of lifestyle. I'm living in a very nice house. I've got a nice car. My bills are paid for. I am not saying that people have to live in this austere sort of environment. It has allowed me to be able to pursue this ministry because I've been able to fund it and get it to where it's at. So those resources are available, and, you know, take care of your family and make sure that you are, you know, being a responsible adult out there. But there is a lot of free will and choices that we can make that can really make a difference in this world. Make the choices that are consistent with how you have been wired and designed, and see if it doesn't make a difference in your life and the lives of the people that you touch.
Yeah. Thank you so much, JR. This has just been a real pleasure talking with you. As we wrap up, if you can just take a moment, share with the audience how they can connect with you, find out more about your work, and any final word that you have, and then we'll wrap up.
Well, the easiest place is to go to the website, brushfriars-digital.com. It is a LMS software. It's learning software where you can actually watch our videos and go through the entire process anywhere in North America. Really, what I would like to tell your audience is that there's more to life than keeping up with the Joneses. There's more to this life than simply the next steak or the next vacation or the next this. And it's waiting for you to simply lift your head up and start going in the direction that you were created to go in. And we'd love to help you if that's part of your desire. We want to help you live that out and experience it.
I love it. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I encourage the audience to reach out, get connected, find out more about what JR and his team can do for you. And as always, I hope everyone can stay healthy and safe. They can find meaning and purpose at work each and every day. And I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the podcast. We hope you stay healthy and safe, and please join us again soon.